Praise God. He's our living hope. We have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Let's take your Bibles and go to John chapter 20. And we actually are going to be in the same passage that Brother Elijah read from this morning, John chapter 20. And I want to speak to you this morning on how the resurrection changes everything. And we're going to read down through verse number 18. I thought if he went all the way through verse 18, that we would just let that be the scripture reading, and then I'd just launch right in. But nonetheless, I believe the Lord wants us to really, really grab a hold of this particular text this morning. And so John chapter 20 and verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulchre, and so they both ran together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's pray. God, you are our living God. Thank you so much that you have shown mercy to us. You have not left us in our sin, but you made a way. And ultimately, you paid the sacrifice that you required. You made it yourself. And Jesus, thank you that you not only died for our sins, but you rose again the third day, victorious, conquering death. And because you live, we can live again. I pray that the resurrection, Father, would have a profound impact upon how we live our lives and, Lord, how we walk. Lord, may we not walk as those who have no hope, but may we walk in such a way that declares the hope of Christ. May we walk in ways that are holy because you are holy. You purchased us with a price. And thank you. Thank you so much that we have eternal life through the resurrection power of our Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that if there's anyone here today that has yet to put faith and trust in Christ alone as their Savior, that they too would experience the same grace that we have experienced as followers of Christ, that they would turn from their sin and trust Christ who alone can save them. Lord, I ask now that you would help me once again to preach your word. I thank you that your word is powerful. It is quick. It is alive. and has the power to change us. Speak to us today, we pray, through your word. May your Holy Spirit work in our hearts. May Jesus Christ be lifted up, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. I want you to consider with me this morning as we think about the fates of other religious leaders. The Buddha's body, Siddhartha Gautama, was cremated and the relics were placed in monuments. And yet, where is he today? He's still in the grave. The grave of Confucius, the founder of Confucianism, is in his hometown of Kaifu, the Shandong province of Canada. And where is he today? Say it with me. He's still in the grave. Muhammad is buried in the mosque of the Prophet in the city of Medina in Saudi Arabia. And where is the founder today? Still in the grave. Upon his death, or actually backtracking here, Scientology was founded by L. Ron Hubbard. And upon his death, Hubbard was cremated and his ashes were scattered in the Pacific. Where is he today? He's still in the grave. Where is Jesus Christ today? He's not still in the grave. The tomb is empty. He conquered the grave. He's not like any other religious leader or founder. This is the biggest game changer in history. If Christ has not risen from the grave, then our faith is vain. My preaching is vain. We are still yet in our sins. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then why endure hardship? Why resist temptation? If Christ be not risen from the grave, we have no reason to live in holiness. Hey, live it up. Eat, drink, tomorrow we die, if Christ be not risen from the grave. If Christ be not risen from the grave, that's the biggest if, right? If. But now is Christ risen from the grave and has become the first fruits of them that slept. He's risen indeed. Do you know the resurrected Christ this morning? Do you know the resurrected Savior? Not experientially, but have you put your faith alone in Jesus Christ as Savior and entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ? I hope and I pray that you have today, and I know many of you have that have gathered, but I believe there's probably some here that have yet to make for sure that heaven is your home, that you have eternal life, that you will spend forever with Jesus Christ. And so you can have the same good news that we enjoy today as followers of Christ. If you would turn from your sin and your way of thinking that you can enter into heaven, because it's nothing that we can do. It's all through the grace and the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus has promised is staked to his resurrection. Everything that he promised is staked to the resurrection. The resurrection changes everything, because Jesus changes everything. I want you to see this morning, because Jesus rose again, there are spiritual blessings that are found exclusively in Jesus Christ. Don't you love it when you see something and it says, found, you can only get this online, or you can only get this exclusively at this particular store. And that can be frustrating. But in contrast to that, the most wonderful thing as we think about Christ is that there are things that are only exclusively found in him because of who he is. He is unlike any other because he is God. And so what can we find exclusively in Jesus Christ? Well, there are many, many things that we could talk about this morning, but we're going to look at our text today, and we're going to look at three spiritual blessings that are found exclusively in Jesus Christ. Number one, you find life only in Jesus Christ. You find life only in Christ. What did Jesus say? He says, the thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have what? Say it. I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. So here it is, Saturday night. They are crushed in spirit. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Salome, they have watched intently as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, which by the way, that's the Nicodemus in John chapter 3. It's believed that he came to faith in Christ. As these two men are hastily preparing the body of Christ to put Jesus into what would be none other than a borrowed tomb, Joseph's tomb. And so they are watching intently. And in the next day, in the morning, in the darkness of the morning, they go. They go to the tomb. And it's believed that Mary arrives first, and the question is, how on their minds, how in the world are we going to move this stone? And as I studied and researched this out, really the idea of a round circular stone, they'd use those, but not as common. It's more like a huge stone, a boulder. Some believe maybe a ton. So you can imagine the ladies are going. What they are wanting to do is provide additional burial preparation, spices, to finish out that process. How in the world are we going to get the stone movement? Perhaps, maybe there's some Roman soldiers there. Maybe they'll help us to move the stone away. And much to Mary Magdalene's amazement, she arrives, and what has happened? The stone has been moved away. It's been rolled away. The angel of the Lord has come and moved the stone aside. There's been an earthquake. I'm told that geologists have studied, and they have been able to document that, in fact, yes, as the Bible tells us, it's interesting how archaeologists come along or other studies come along and say, oh yeah, it's actually as how the Bible says. But geologists have studied and found that there was a massive earthquake in that particular time period. So here's Mary Magdalene coming, and you can imagine she's not expecting the stone to be moved. And her thought is, somebody's stolen the body. Somebody has stolen the body of Jesus. And so she takes off, and she's running as fast as she can. She's going to go find John and Peter. Believes they're the historical account believe that they're staying together at this particular time. And so she arrives, and I can just imagine her, frankly. John, Peter, I went to the tomb, and I don't know where they've taken him, but he's gone. They've stolen the body. And off go John and Peter, off to the races. And apparently, as Elijah mentioned, John was the faster runner, but Peter was more bold and audacious. But nonetheless, here's John. He's running, and he looks. He sees the linen clothes lie. He pauses, and what does Peter do? As Peter is so good at doing, he goes right inside the tomb there. Eventually, John goes inside the tomb, and he saw. And he believed. It's not just he saw in terms of seeing. He saw in the sense of he perceived, he understood with intelligence and thinking through the matter. And he believed. He began to connect the dots. Take a look at verse number 9, John chapter 20. In verse number 9, John would have had availability to this particular scripture that is referred to in verse number 9, because it says here, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." What scripture? Psalm chapter 16 and verse number 10. Take a look with me. The prediction of the rising again of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 16, verse 10 says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." We could read that soul in grave. We talked about that in our Sunday school class this morning. But in any case, it says, "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." He would not see corruption. He would not stay long enough to see corruption as he would rise again on the third day. John saw and believed. Later, all 11 believed, including Thomas. You look later on in our chapter, John chapter 20, Jesus appears to all of them except Thomas is not there for some reason. And they said, hey Thomas, we saw Jesus. And no, guys, that's a good idea, but I'm not buying it. I've got to personally see him for myself. I've got to touch his wounds. I have to see it to believe it. And later, Thomas did see Jesus as Jesus appeared and does not belittle Thomas or shame him. And Thomas says that powerful statement, "My Lord and my God." He declares his belief in Christ. You know, none of us have the privilege to witness these things as they did in those early days. But what does Jesus tell Thomas in the text? We'll look at John chapter 20 and verse 29. "And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed." It says, you've seen, you've got evidence right before your eyes. But then he says, "Blessed are they that have not seen and believed." Have you believed? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Not just believe that Jesus is a historical figure. Not just to believe in the existence of God. Have you believed on Christ as your Savior, recognizing that without Christ you will die in your sins and spend eternity in hell separated from God? Have you believed on Christ alone as your Savior? If not, would you do so? Would you believe on Christ and be saved? And if you have believed, man, what a blessing. What a blessing to say, he's my Savior. I've not seen him, but I believe what the scriptures tell me. That is the only evidence that I need. I believe, and wow, I'm looking forward to the day when I get to see him face to face, who rose again from the grave on my behalf. Number one, you can find life only in the resurrected Christ. These are things you can exclusively find in Jesus Christ. But number two, you can find hope only in the resurrected Christ. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We sang earlier about our living hope. That statement comes from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You can find hope only in the resurrected Christ. So Peter and John, they've left, and here's Mary Magdalene, and she's weeping. She's there outside the tomb, and she's shaken up by this. She's confused. She's wondering, wow, what's going on? And what does she do? She goes and goes inside of the tomb. And as you saw the picture earlier, today we think of a grave and a casket, and it's lower down, 6 feet under, and dirt's over the top. As you saw earlier, they did things different back in those days. They were actually able to walk inside. And so she does that. She walks inside the tomb, and on either end of where Jesus had been, there's two angels. And she is shocked. She's amazed. Like, wow, these angels are here. And the angel speaks to her. Why are you weeping? Mark tells us that the angels say, "Hey, we know that you seek Jesus Christ of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's died. He's risen. But he's not here. Behold the place where the Lord lay." And then the angel tells them, Mary, and the other ladies, to go and tell the disciples what they've seen. Mary, she's still befuddled by it all. She sees the angels. She hears the words that are spoken to her, and she's still not quite connecting the dots. And what happens? A wonderful thing happens. As she's there, she turns around, and there's Jesus. But she doesn't know that it's Jesus. She does not recognize that it is Jesus Christ. Could be a variety of reasons for that. Maybe because she was just not expecting to see him right then. Could have been because it was darker. And yet she turns and she assumes that, oh, this is the gardener. This is the groundskeeper. And he says the same question. Why are you weeping? Because there is no reason for weeping, is there, when Jesus Christ has risen from the grave? Yes, we sorrow for sure, but we don't remain in our sorrow. We don't sorrow as those who have no hope. He asks, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And I love what she says. She actually accuses him, thinking he's the groundskeeper. If you have taken him somewhere, I don't know where you've taken him or placed him, but please tell me, and I will bring him back, and we'll get him back in the tomb. And at that moment, Jesus says, Mary. She knew. It was as if he was saying, Mary, it's I. The one that delivered you from demonic possession. This is Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had delivered seven demons. It's believed that the terminology of using seven, that she was completely bound by these demons. She was in bondage. And Jesus one day called to her in her affliction and in her bondage, Mary Magdalene, and saved her. She believed on him as her Messiah and as her Savior, and he healed her. And so when she heard the words, Mary, she knew. She knew. And immediately, what does she do? She says, Rabboni! Rabboni! She immediately then recognizes, this is the one, this is him. He who saved me, who rescued me from demonic possession, he's alive. He is alive. Hope is alive. Can I encourage you this morning? Perhaps you're saddened today by something. I don't know what it is. It could be a loss that you've experienced. You know, Jesus wept. You know, the kids joke around, and I did it too. Oh, I know a Bible verse. Jesus wept. There's great significance in that. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Folks, there's nothing wrong with us sorrowing. There are excruciatingly painful things that we face in this life that sometimes bring a flood of tears that we cannot stop. Maybe it's a loss that you're thinking of. What is it today that brings sorrow into your life? Maybe it's just dealing with this fallen world in which we live, and you look at things and it grieves your heart. Perhaps a physical affliction that you're dealing with, and that is a burden to you this morning. Maybe it's the painful realities of how you've been treated by someone else, and that is a grief to your soul. Can I encourage you this morning, in the darkest moments of your life, in the darkest hours of your life, there is hope. Satan may come along and whisper his lies to us and say, look at you. You've committed that sin again. You're worthless. He may speak his lies of, hey, there's not any reason for living. There's no reason for you to go on. Folks, there is reason for us to go on because of Jesus. It's not just hope in itself. It's Jesus is hope. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I often will read this passage at the graveside of those who have lost loved ones, folks who have placed their faith in Christ, and there is great hope to be found within this passage and within the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. It's a way of saying those who have died. That you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Folks, outside of Christ, we have zero hope. There is no hope outside of Christ. We can think, well, maybe if we get the right person in power, man, that I'm gonna anchor my hope to that. That's misguided hope. Maybe I can find some hope in having more money or more things or this relationship or that. All of those things fall short. There's only one who can give us true hope. That's Jesus Christ. And in Him we have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, or those who have died in Christ, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God will bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep, those who have died. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then notice verse 18. What does it say? Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I need comfort. I don't need comfort that some pithy saying may promise to give me or some cliche statement. I need the comfort that only the Word of God can give, and the promises of the Word of God can give, the hope that Jesus can give. You find exclusively in the person of Christ, in the resurrected Christ, you find life, you find hope, and then thirdly and finally, you can find peace only in the resurrected Christ. In John chapter 20, beyond verse number 18, we see Jesus appearing three times, and each of those three times, Jesus says, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Because only He can offer true peace. And so in her joy, Mary is, she's so excited. Like, wow. Rabboni, meaning master, the teacher, the one who taught of Himself. Yes, he taught how to live, but it was all connected to Himself because He is God. The one who had shared the gospel with her, she now realizes He's alive. And what does she do? In her great joy and excitement, she literally clings to Him. Because what does Jesus say? He says, touch me not. And literally, if you dive into that, it means stop clinging to me. It's believed that Mary knelt down and held onto His feet. Parents, have you ever lost a child in a store? That's a wonderful feeling. Oh my goodness, where has a child gone? Who's kidnapped my kid? I mean, you start having the worst thoughts. I mean, and I've been there, I've gone frantic. I'm like, where is the child? And then you finally find the child, and you've got a death grip on that kid. They're not getting loose. Mom, can you let go? Nope. I mean, the fingernails are digging in. I mean, it's intense. They're not getting away. They're held. It's as if Mary's, Jesus, you're not going anywhere. you're not leaving. I'm not going to lose you now. And I want you to see something within the text here, because The resurrection is directly tied to the ascension. If there's no resurrection, we don't have the ascension. And we also don't have peace that's provided through the coupling of the resurrection and the ascension. I want us to go back and look at verse number 17. Because Jesus makes a statement here that is of great importance. Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." There was 40 days post-resurrection that Jesus would appear bodily. Bodily form, resurrected body. Away with these ideas of he was a ghost, he was a spirit. He ate. They touched him. Mary clung to him post-resurrection. And so for 40 days beyond the resurrection, he appeared to people. And at one point, he appeared to 500 people at the same time. These eyewitnesses giving validity to the resurrected Christ. Not only do they see him post-resurrection, and they fellowshipped with him, they talked with him, but there would come a time in which Jesus would ascend up to heaven. And you can read about it in Acts chapter 1. For sake of time, we won't turn there. But in Acts chapter 1, the Bible tells us that they saw him ascend to heaven. You say, what is the significance of Christ's ascension? Here it is. Jesus right now is reigning on his throne. You may look at things and say, well, it doesn't look like it. He is. Trust me, he is. He is reigning. He is seated on his throne at the right hand of the Father. Pertaining to the ascension, I think it's important for us to look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of passages here that speak to the ascension of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, and look with me at verses 20 through 22. We're going to find what the ascension of Christ means for us today in 2026, and how it gives us peace. Ephesians 1, verse 20 says, "Which he wrought in Christ," those are the mighty power which he wrought in Christ. Not just a man, he's God. "When he raised him from the dead and set him at his," or seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, "far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come," and then note, "and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Kingdoms rage, nations war, but Jesus is high above it all. Looks like chaos. Jesus reigns high above it all. We do not see his power per se now. It is unseen, but one day it will be manifested in full view. In the future, eternal kingdom. And folks, that ought to give us peace, because this is not how it's going to end. It's not going to end with relentless wars, with horrible, sinful acts committed in this world. It's not going to end with death and suffering and sorrow and sadness. Because for the child of God who has put their faith and trust in Christ, we will reign with him. And even right now in your life, right here, right now, whatever you're facing, he's reigning. He's reigning. And all is well. All is well. We can say, as the old song says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul." Why? Because he's on his throne. He's on his throne. He's reigning. And I can have that peace and assurance that all is well and he will make everything right in his time. You are never, ever, ever alone. Do not believe that you are alone in this life. He is reigning, he is working, he is sovereignly in control, and you can have peace in that. Perhaps maybe we need to pray. Father, grant me peace that I may believe that right now, right here in my life, you're reigning, you're working, you're sovereign, you're working all things for my good. Be a good prayer to pray. As we wrap up this morning, do you have life? Do you have hope? Do you have peace? It's only found in Christ. The resurrection changes everything. You cannot find life in this world. You cannot find hope in this world. You cannot find peace in this world, but you can find all of those things in Jesus. It's only in Christ. This morning, you do not have life, hope, and peace. Would you trust him? Would you come to Christ? Come as you are, he'll save you. Believe on him. Cast all your dependence on Christ, and he will rescue you. There are some things that only, exclusively, can be found in Jesus Christ. The resurrection does change everything. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have your word today, your preserved word that points us to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have the good news of the Gospels. Thank you that we can open and dive into John and this wonderful, wonderful account. Mary Magdalene and the others, there is an empty tomb. Thank you that through you we have life, we have hope, we have peace. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.